Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. Thank you, as always, for joining us today. We are excited to be here. We've got a big show for you. I don't even know if we're going to get through all this. I mean, we probably will, since we have no set time limit. So,
right,
there's that. What's going on? Anything interesting going on?
No.
No, nothing interesting is going on. Glad you're helping the host
the show.
I'm going
to make the apology you made last week in that I've had a very busy work week for me.
Yeah.
And so I may not have as much to contribute as...
Are you a little light in your entertainment contributions today? Is that what you're trying to tell us in advance?
Yes. Okay. But I'll try to make up for it in charm.
Okay. Yeah, good luck with that one. As always, please visit us on Facebook and become a fan of our Facebook page. And you can send email to us at podcast@pause.com, in which you can give us comments, ask us questions, offer suggestions, or just say hi.
Any or ask advice. I want someone to ask us for some advice.
What kind of advice?
Like life advice.
Really? Are we going there?
I don't
Should
think
I try to see
equipped,
if we can get...
I don't think we're equipped to give life advice, but...
Should I see if we can get Dr. Phil on the show?
No, absolutely not.
No, I mean to give him advice. Life advice.
I don't have anything to do with him.
Why?
We're just a tool.
What? Where is this coming from?
Come on, Dr. What? Phil.
He's funny. You don't think he's funny?
No.
I mean, I don't watch a show, but whenever I see, you know, stuff or hear stuff, he's pretty funny. I think he's funny. Come on, how can you not like a guy who on his show says, "Now, that is one skanky-looking crack whore." I mean, that's funny. You don't think that's funny?
No.
I think it's funny. All right, we're done talking about Dr. Phil for today.
Please.
Let's move on to video games. What have you been playing?
Oh,
I'm sorry, what? Nothing?
No. Actually, you know what? I downloaded the add-on to Pixel Junk Eden, which I've talked about before.
That's true.
And it's cool. It's like five extra levels, but it's not really incorporated into the game. Like, you go to a certain area, and then there are those five levels. So it's not like five more challenging levels than the already 10 that there are in the original game.
Now, this is a PS3 game? I forget.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it's downloadable through the PSN
network.
Well, that's what the N is.
The ATM machine, yeah.
I almost did
I know, it sounded like you were
TCBY
going there.
Yogurt.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good thing. And did it cost dollars or
it
points
was like,
or whatever?
No, actually, they do money. And,
oh, they
you know,
do.
It's even
regular.
Money. And yeah, that's the one plus PSN over Xbox Live.
I gotcha.
But you know, it's five new levels. It's fun. It's cool. It's new music. Because,
you
know, it's very much a music-oriented game. So I mean, it sets the atmosphere.
So there you go.
It's cool. So if you like the original.
That's all you played so far?
Past
week.
I'm sorry. Right.
Well, I've been playing the same thing for the past week that I was playing the week before. And last week I told you I couldn't say anything about it. Well, I've been given permission to at least mention what it is. And that is that I've been playing the beta of PopCap's forthcoming game, Plants vs. Zombies. And let me just tell you, that game is so much fun and so addicting. Is it addicting or addictive? I can never remember. Whatever.
Yeah.
You will become addicted to this game, is what I'm trying to tell you. I can't really talk about any specifics of it, but I will say that it's huge. It's a big game. There's a lot to do in it. There's a lot to have fun with, and it is very, it's very, very challenging. Of course, I'll be doing a review on pause.com, and I'll talk about it after the official release date. But suffice to say that I think it's a great game, and I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of fun with it. I think they're going to get a lot of kudos for this one because it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw a little bit as well. You showed it to me, and they're so good at what they do over there.
They really are. I mean, we can't really be specific about it, but you'll see when it comes out.
Everything's so polished that they do.
Yeah, it is very polished. And there a lot of thought goes into what they do. And I give them a lot of props for that because it seems like a lot of times, especially when you play casual games, you know, some things aren't really, like you said, they're not polished or some things, you know, could have been better or whatever. There's so many things in this game that are so well thought out that it makes it even that much better. So I can't wait to talk about it after it's released on May 5th. And you can, if you go onto their website or you can find it on Facebook and stuff like that too, there's a really funny music video that they put together for the game. So check that out. And I think you can actually download the music from it too if you think the song is funny enough to warrant that. So, which it is pretty funny, I'll give them that. But that's the only thing I've been playing. I have gotten to a point where I'm kind of stuck, so I've been playing a few different parts of it over and over again, trying to get past them. But it's very challenging. So, and then you wanted to talk about the cops and robbers thing on.
I just want to mention. I mean, we mentioned it before. I just want to mention that it comes out tomorrow on April 30th.
So there
there's something
go.
Else I want to mention that I didn't tell you earlier. You know what else comes out on May 5th is the next add-on for Fallout 3.
Oh, really?
It's called Broken Steel. And you know what I heard? That it lets you, you know, if you finish the game, it lets you go back into the game.
Oh, so it undoes the ending, sort of?
You still
finish the main story, but you can keep playing rather than having to load from a previous.
That's what I heard in another podcast. And
we'll have to check that out. I'm going to take a little note here. I'm going to write down.
I'm actually looking over some stuff right here.
Broken Steel. I don't think I even heard about that. You know, it's hard to keep up sometimes with some of these news items when you got a little one-year-old running around. I'm just saying. I'm going to use my one-year-old son and my colorblindness every chance I get as
Oh, that's excuses, no surprise to anyone listening.
As excuses for things. But that's pretty much all I have about video games.
Yeah, you know what? That is too. We have a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot of other stuff to go over, so that's fine. We'll keep this short, and we will be back in just a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back from that break after that brief video game section, and we're going to talk about TV, as always, in this part of the show, starting off with, of course, American Idol. We should first talk about last week a little bit, because, okay, of course, last week was the week after the judges used their save to keep Matt around, and last week was disco week, as we talked about in the last show, and of course, Lil and Anoop went home. I thought it could have been either Anoop or Matt, so I wasn't really surprised. I mean, nobody was surprised by Lil, I don't think.
You know what I was surprised about is how abruptly he told Lil she was off.
Yeah, it was just like she stands up, he starts talking to her, he's like, Lil, you're done. Sorry, end of the road. Out. Hit it. Beat it. Scram. So yeah, that was a little abrupt.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the results show, why are you laughing?
Because I know where you're going.
Okay. Then, of course, on the results show, they had some performances by quote-unquote disco greats.
That was so terrible.
It was so painful. It was so painful.
What's wrong with Casey, first of all?
I mean,
it's like he had a stroke up there.
Is this week's episode of What's Wrong with His or Her Face?
It's more than just the face.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's back up a little bit. The first person to come out was, you don't remember?
No.
Shoot. Do you remember what the song was?
No.
Oh, whoever sings Band of Gold. Who sang that? I don't remember.
I'll look for it.
He's going to look it up. Which was one of my favorite songs back then. I love that song. I did not like it when it was sung on American Idol last week. And I'm pretty sure it was sung by
Frida Payne.
Frida Payne. There you go. Frida Payne should retire immediately, or preferably 2 weeks ago.
Frida, you're giving me pain.
Yeah, exactly. That was not a good performance. And then Thelma Houston came out singing another one of my favorite songs from that era, Don't Leave Me This Way.
Her voice was good. But? She just was scary in that dress.
Okay.
Thought she was going to pop out.
Yeah, that was a little bit. And speaking of popping out, going back to KC now singing, that's right? Did he sing That's the Way I Like
It?
His solid gold dancers. One of them, I swear, was going to bust a strap at least 10 times during the performance. And what was funny is Amy didn't notice her at first. I'm like, did you see the girl over there with the boobs? And she's like, what are you talking about? Oh, my God. I mean, it was insane. It was like the three-headed monster. I'm just saying. But, yeah, KC, and my apologies to my friend Wendy, who loves KC.
Really?
Yeah, but he was not.
There's
super,
something wrong with him.
There,
no, really, there has. You know what?
I think he's probably just had some plastic surgery. You
no,
know what
I mean, even the way he talked, and you know.
I don't really remember what you're referring to.
I just googled Casey and stroke, and I'm not getting anything.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't think he had a stroke. I think that's mean. I don't think we should.
Have
be
I gone too
that.
Far?
I think you have gone,
I think
too
I've
far.
Gone too far.
And I think you're starting rumors that don't need to be started either.
Well, no, you know what? I'm dispelling a rumor right here. I got nothing on KC.
Yeah, but it's
stroke.
A rumor that you started. I think it was just.
And then I'm
I think it was
it.
Just bad plastic surgery. Because didn't he
That's
look a
so
little
much
bit
that
like
his mouth? Like
yeah,
because
he looked a little bit like Mickey Rourke. You know how Mickey Rourke's plastic surgery has that kind of, oh look, he's wearing a mask kind of look to it.
Yeah,
Yeah, all so right. I think it was just like that. So anyway, so that was last week. So then, of course, the top five remaining were Chris, Allison, Danny, Matt, and Adam. And last night's theme was standards, which I was actually pretty excited about. I thought it was going to be a pretty good week. And I think for the most part, it was pretty good.
I thought it was the best show of the year so far.
I think the performances were really, really good for the most part.
With the exception of one that I didn't like, I thought they were all fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, so let's
start
with
Chris. Which one do you think I didn't like?
Which one did you not like? I'm going to say Matt.
Yes.
Yeah, I hated Matt's. Hated Matt's, not understand. Well, let's start over, and then okay. We'll get back to that. So Chris came out, and he sang...
The Way You Look Tonight.
The Way You Look Tonight.
Uh-huh.
I thought he did a good job. I was not blown away by it. I thought it was very sweet. Uh-huh. I thought it was a very nice, sweet performance, but it was not as good as he's been in the last few weeks.
I don't know. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I really liked it more than probably you did.
I think so.
It was one of my favorites of the night.
It was good. I don't want to take that away from him, but... Yeah. Then Allison sang
Someone
to Watch Over Me, and that was my favorite of the night. I thought she was absolutely phenomenal last night.
Yep.
And I mean, I got chills twice while she was singing, and I almost started to get like teary towards the end of the song. I thought it was so good. Could not for the life of me figure out why some of the judges were not that hot on it.
Well, it was really only Simon. And even Simon, yeah. It's not that he wasn't hot on it, but he said he thinks that she's in some trouble.
I absolutely disagree with that.
I totally disagree.
That I thought that was probably one of her best performances.
Easily.
And without question, my favorite of the night.
Easily.
Yeah.
I haven't done this all season. I actually went on iTunes to buy it.
Oh, did you?
And it wasn't available yet, but I...
Yeah, because I'm going to buy it too.
And apparently I get some autographed picture of her with it.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to buy it too. It was so good.
It was great.
Then Danny came out and he sang... Do you remember? I can never remember the names of any of the songs. I'm so bad about this.
You should have had this ready.
I know. You know, I've been trying to just watch the show while it's on rather than taking notes and stuff because it really does distract from the experience. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. You know what? I have it right here.
Oh.
Keep talking.
Okay. Tony is now looking up the name of the song.
I knew that was coming.
Zanny Gokey sang on last night's American Idol performance. And I heard the ratings were way down last night, which is kind of weird because they seemed to be huge last week.
Blah, blah, blah. He had fresh breath. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Danny.
Because we can't not talk about that. But we're not quite there yet. Danny Gokey, American Idol.
He's not saying what he's saying.
Google have any record of this show existing? It doesn't matter. He sang a song. He sang it pretty well. The end was really nice. I thought he was a lot better this
come
week.
Come rain or come shine, okay. That's what he's saying.
I thought this was probably one of his best performances.
I have to say, you know, I'm a Danny Gokey hater.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. And I think it was really interesting that, unlike Lil, he has never said until last week, you know, I finally think I understand what you're talking about. And then this week he was awesome.
Right.
And he was really good. I thought he definitely lived up to the potential that he showed early in the season last night. So that was cool. Then Matt came out and sang some song, and I just
My Funny Valentine, which
oh my god
is a very hard song to sing.
Well, I wouldn't know because I can't sing anything, but
as someone who
it sounds like it would be hard to sing. But here's the thing: if you're gonna sing that song and you can't make me forget Michelle Pfeiffer, then
I didn't even think of that.
Because to me, I loved her version of that from Fabulous Baker Boys.
Uh-huh.
What's your quintessential version of that song?
Frank Sinatra.
Really?
Yeah.
His is a little morose for me. What? 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 You know, he had a tendency in some of his songs to sound like kind of a downer. I mean,
yeah. Well,
you know
it's
what
a
I
ballad.
Mean? I know, but a ballad should be, I mean, unless it's a heartbreak ballad, which right. I don't think this one is, it's talking about how I love you so much in spite of your faults, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
But it's a love song. It's not a, you know, heartbreak song.
It's like a What's Wrong With Your Face song.
No, it's not a What's Wrong With Your Face song at all.
But let's get back to the Matt thing. So there were some definite clunkers in there.
Oh my God. It was like Clam
bad.
City.
It was really bad.
It was Clam City. He was off key for at
and
least.
And then for Simon to praise him like he did, it made no sense.
The only
sense
thing
to
that
me.
We could think of is that he was pulling an old Simon switcheroo. Saying bad things about Allison to get people to vote for her and saying good things about Matt to make people think that he's safe and they don't need to vote for
him.
Because he got that totally backwards.
I agree.
Totally backwards.
I agree.
I think. And then Adam came out and he sang
Feeling Good.
Feeling Good. Is that the name of that song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever song that
what
is.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, that doesn't sound familiar.
That's the name of the song.
Okay. I hate that song. I've always hated that song. I have always hated that song.
Okay.
And I was not crazy about his rendition of it. I thought it was fine. I mean, yeah, the big note at the end was great and everything. But again, it was more towards the stagey theatrical end of things, which I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, as far as just singing, Allison and Chris, I thought blew him away. And Danny.
And Danny, yeah.
So what's your prediction?
My prediction? Matt
should go
home.
To talk about.
Matt should go home.
Definitely.
Because I just did not think he was that good.
I have to say, I've always been behind Allison 100%. I'm being realistic in that. I'm pretty sure Allison's not going to win. I mean, if she doesn't go home this week, she'll probably go home.
I think it's going to be Chris and Adam.
But here's something I read in USA Today yesterday that makes perfect sense. If they can get rid of Danny Gokey, Chris is the only person that can beat Adam. And here's the reason that they give it makes total sense. Most of American Idol's demographic is either like older women or teens.
Right.
And because of so much of their audience probably does not embrace Adam just because of the whole, like, he's a little out there and the whole, like, gender not specific thing.
Yeah. But, okay, well, say what you're going to say and then I'm going to
That leaves a big chunk of the population. It's like whether it be in the Bible Belt or conservative and that right now they're split between Danny Gokey, who's very, like, it seems religious and
white
preachy.
Bread, yeah.
Right. And then the little innocent, cute, Chris Allen.
Right.
So right now, they're splitting that vote. If they can get rid of Gokey, then Chris actually has a chance to beat Adam.
But who's they? They is the public. And a lot of people like Danny.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Okay,
but,
here's the thing. Here's the only thing I want to add about Adam, though. The older demographic, I think, could go either way in terms of whether or not they like him or don't like him based on his lifestyle. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
Because a lot of those older people like that stagey, theatrical kind of thing.
But he's doing it in not very much a traditional sense.
Well, that's true, but they see him as very flourishy, which a lot of them like. And again, I think the older demographic is going to be split on that. The younger demographic has no clue whatsoever that Danny is gay. That Adam is gay. There are so many little teeny bopper girls who are like totally in love with Adam.
Right.
And like, I know some people who have talked about the fact that they've got a cousin or a niece or somebody like that who's in love with Adam. They're like, he's gay, right? And they're like, no, there's no possible way. So I think, you
can't be off the eyeliner.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm not even saying sexual orientation aside, I just think there's a lot of people that probably don't get him. You know what I mean? They just don't get the whole, what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and I'll even put myself in that group from time to time. I mean, again, that's why I said early on in the season that I think he's super talented, but I can't be sure if I would buy an album of songs that he put out.
Right.
Because it would really depend on which direction they went. When he does stuff like Mad World, I would buy an album of that music in a heartbeat.
Right.
But I don't want to hear Ring of Fire on that album. The way he did it.
Yeah.
And even last night, I wasn't crazy about that. But plus, like I said, I hate that song. And it's unfortunate that Allison probably can't win the competition. I don't know what it is. I mean, she's such a great singer. I don't know why she's having trouble as much as she seems to be in the popularity part of it.
Maybe because of her youth. I don't know.
You think so? Because Jordan Sparks won, she was the same age.
Yeah, that's true.
But Jordan Sparks was also very bubbly, whereas Allison is kind of quirky.
Yeah.
Like, Allison's a little bit strange when they talk to her.
Well, she's still in that awkward stage.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was so fantastic last night.
I agree.
So good. Okay, so we got to talk about the fact that this week's mentor was just beyond strange.
What?
You didn't think it was strange that they had Jamie Foxx
as
the
mentor? At first, but I thought he was excellent. I thought he was the best mentor they've had all season.
Okay, we were making fun of him pretty much the whole night because he was like talking constantly and saying almost nothing. Like when he first told Chris, he's like, you know, if you do that, then you're going to totally blow people away. They won't know they've been blown away, but you're going to blow them away. It's like, what does that mean? What does that even mean?
I don't know. Maybe he was like, I'm a huge Jamie Foxx fan, so maybe I like
Jamie Foxx. I think he's great. I think he's really funny. I like him as an actor. I thought he was pretty good in Ray. But I thought last night he was just, it seemed like he was on a lot of drugs or something. Because he was saying all this weird stuff that like didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I liked him because he was very much a fan of all of them.
Yeah, well, that's always nice.
I mean, sometimes the mentors come in and like, you know, they don't even have a clue who these people are.
Right, right.
In fact, I loved what was it he said to Adam? He's like, you don't even care who I am.
Right. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But like, there was one point where he's like, you know, when you sing to the audience and they're there and they're listening and then you're doing that thing and when they're over there and stuff, that's like, mm.
Why are you giving him the who is that? Nicolas Cage voice?
No, Nicolas Cage is totally different. Nicolas Cage would be like, when you're singing and the audience is doing that thing and you're over there and someone asks you a question, are you going to be like, huh? Or are you going to be like, all right. Because
right,
I'll be over here mentoring. But I mean, seriously, he was talking without saying anything.
I guess I just liked his enthusiasm.
Well, I appreciated that too. I still, you know what one of my favorite Jamie Foxx things is that movie Bait. Did you ever see that?
Bait. No.
He was funny in that. It was like one of these, you know, kind of spy thriller movies, but he was funny in it too.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it wasn't to the level of like Beverly Hills Cop kind of funny, but he was funny in it and it was a good movie.
I'll tell you what I don't want to see is his new movie that he is out.
What is it?
The Soloist?
No, it looks boring.
Oh, it looks so contrived and like...
It looks boring. Is that the one where he's a bum or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks boring. I think that was supposed to come out like a year ago. And they kept delaying it or something.
It's gotten good reviews, so...
Oh. Okay, so that's American Idol. And so you think Matt's going to go tonight?
I hope Matt's going to go.
Because if it's not Matt, it's going to be Allison.
I know.
Which would be sad.
I know.
Yeah. So here's hoping that Matt goes. And, you know, I like Matt's voice. I think he's a good singer at least 50% of the time. But he's not as good as the other four.
No, not by far.
And he should go. So that's that. All right, I got to talk about the Chuck season finale.
Oh, I forgot to give a shout out to Sue, who gave you props again for talking about Chuck. She loves Chuck.
Okay. Well, I'd be curious. Tell Susan did you say Sue or Susan?
They're both her name.
Oh, same. We're talking about the same person?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, tell her to write in to podcast@pause.com because I want to know what she thought of the season finale. Of course, there was so much that happened last week. And then just to give a brief recap, because I'm sure anyone who watches the show has already seen it by now. Chevy Chase's character, Ted Rourke, comes back to mess with Ellie's wedding. And he says he's going to kill Ellie unless Chuck can get him the Intersect Cube that they stole when they blew up his secret base at the drive-in last week. So Chuck tries to figure out a way to get the cube back. And all this other nonsense happens, which a lot of it was very fun and funny and everything. Let's cut to the chase. Here's what happens. Bryce comes back and ends up getting killed. Sarah has decided that she's not going to go on assignment with Bryce for the new Intersect project, and she's going to stay with Chuck. She never has a chance to tell him that she cares about him enough that she's giving up her job to stay with him because, you know, Chuck tries to go get the Intersect cube to give to Ted Rourke. So anyway, so Bryce ends up getting killed. Instead of destroying the Intersect, Chuck puts it back in his head, not knowing that it's a different version of the Intersect. And so when the bad guys come and capture Chuck and Sarah and Casey after they kill Bryce, and they're all just standing there with no weapons or anything because they were at Ellie's wedding, all of a sudden you think Chuck flashes, but really he had something switched on in his brain and he kung fus all the bad guys and knocks them all out. And it's like they're outnumbered like 3-1. So basically the new Intersect has this whole Matrix like component. And in fact, they aped a line from the Matrix at the end. He's like, guys, I know kung fu, like after he beats everyone up. And that's where it ends. So how do you feel about that? Well, I don't know how I feel about that, because one of the things that's great about Chuck is that he's such a nice, good guy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as much as he loves Sarah, he has often been conflicted during the course of the series because he's seen her do things that are, you know, legitimately horrible things. I mean, he saw her kill a Fulcrum agent one time in cold blood, and he knows that she did it to save him because if she hadn't killed this guy, he would have killed Chuck and his family. So it's not like he doesn't appreciate it, but, you know, he's still conflicted by it because the woman he loves can be very ruthless. And so to give him the ability that they gave him with the new Intersect is a little bit potentially disturbing because, I mean, fortunately, he kung fu'd all the guys. We don't know that he killed them. As far as we know, he could have just knocked him out. But I don't think I would be happy with Chuck killing people. I just, you know what I mean?
Right.
It would take away
some of his bumbling and his charm.
It would. And what was funny about that is, and I don't know how much of this was on purpose, but he even still looked bumbling and goofy when he was kung fuing.
Well, that's cool.
It was cool. And I hope that was done on purpose. Because Casey and Sarah both look very natural, you know, fighting bad guys.
Right.
And he looked like somebody who, you know, was having the puppet strings worked on him to kill these bad guys, which is exactly what was happening.
Right.
And in that sense, it was kind of a cool thing. But at the same time, I'm just worried that if it comes back for a third season, and I really hope it does because the show is just so much fun, I just hope they don't make him... Here's where I could see them going with it. I could see them going the route sort of like in a story like Big Picture, where you take this innocent kind of aw shucks guy and you put him into an extraordinary circumstance and he kind of lets it go to his head for a while. I could kind of see them going that route. And I think I would be okay with that as long as he doesn't kill anybody and as long as he realizes what's going on and forces himself to be better than that.
Right.
To come back to who he really is. But it was actually, I think, a little bit not as good as the previous week. The previous week was just so amazing that it was, I think it would have been hard for anything to live up to that. But it was still a good season finale. Now, there's some rumor that it has already been, I mean, we know that there have been rumors that it's already been canceled. But, you know, there was that thing that happened in England where Chuck and Adam Baldwin took a bunch of people from a convention over to the subway. And they bought Subway sandwiches for all 400 of the people that were there. And in fact, Zach Levi and Adam Baldwin got behind the counter and were, you know, helping to make the sandwiches and everything. But one of the things that was interesting about that event was that he told people that as far as he knew, they were on the good side of the bubble in terms of whether or not they were going to be canceled.
Right.
But then something happened where the other night on Monday night, somebody went online on NBC's website and there was a little tag that said series finale. It didn't say season finale. And then, like, it was taken down and replaced with something that said season finale. So they were wondering if maybe that slipped or if somebody just... Because it's easy to make that mistake.
Right.
Especially because we know that NBC has people working there from, you know, probably from the UK. And in the UK, they don't call it a season. They call it a series. So, you know, who knows? It could have just been an innocent mistake. But we'll find out, I think, sometime in May whether or not it's coming back. But anyway, so that was Chuck. You want to talk about Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm all caught up on Celebrity Apprentice, and it's a zoo. Or it was a zoo.
I feel bad now every time you talk about it that I haven't seen it in a few weeks.
It has been so good. It has been so good because there's always every episode there's, you know, there's someone fighting with someone and it just gets ugly and it gets personal.
Yeah.
And then there was one point, you know, the big enemies on the show have been Annie Duke, the poker player, and Joan Rivers.
Okay.
And it just got to the
now,
point.
Now, is it based
and not
on
even
anything
on the
or
same,
do they just clash?
They just clash. And I have to say, I mean, I like Joan Rivers. I think she's really funny, but she really took it like to another level. And of course, you know, her daughter's going to, you know, take her
defender.
Side, even though her daughter is on the same team as Annie Duke.
Right.
It just became this ugly thing where some of the worst things you could say to a person were said from Joan Rivers to Annie Duke.
Right.
At one point, she referred to her as Hitler and then later retracted it because she didn't want to insult Hitler.
Well, you know, and part of the problem with something like that is that because Joan Rivers is a comedian.
Right. People are going to take it. Right.
You know,
she's
making jokes, but it's hard for anybody else to see it as something other than what she actually said.
Right.
You know, and you know, that's a problem with anybody. I think not just Joan Rivers or anybody who's a professional comedian. I think that's a problem with anybody who's funny and likes to make people laugh is they're inadvertently going to say something that's going to upset somebody.
Right.
Because they're trying to be funny. I mean, I've done that and I'm not anywhere near as funny as Joan Rivers, you know. But although if you'd like to write into podcast@pause.com and tell me otherwise, I'm certainly willing to hear that. But anyway, what happened?
There was also I watched 3 episodes all in a row. I watched 6 hours of Celebrity Apprentice.
That's a lot of Celebrity Apprentice. That's a lot of Donald Trump right there.
I haven't seen a movie.
And notice your hair is looking a little more plasticky today than it has in the past. You think some of Trump is rubbing off on you?
I would not let him rub me.
Okay. No.
There were other fights as well. Like Jesse James doesn't get along with Clint Black. And at one point he called him stupid.
To his face?
Yeah.
Nice.
But the big, and actually I saw it on some other show, so it kind of was like, it was a big deal. The other night, Melissa was on the team with Brandy, who is the Playboy model, and Annie Duke. And they became like best buddies, even though Annie Duke was talking stuff about Brandy just a couple weeks before. And so they kind of shut Melissa out of the
challenge. Wait, so Brandy Roderick and Annie Duke have become friendly?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, like two peas in a pod.
Okay.
And they kind of shut Melissa out. And it just appeared as if, you know, they wanted that they were going to team up against Melissa. So they lost. They went into the boardroom. And sure enough, you know, through a course of events, Melissa is fired. Well, that's when all hell breaks loose. And Melissa goes nuts. And almost anything that came out of her mouth was bleeped.
Really?
And they show the transcript online of the thing she said. You would not believe that a woman would talk like this.
But, I mean, in the context of the show, how could she be that upset that she would...
Well, that's my point. I mean, at what point do you take a show like this so seriously that you just... She made herself look like... And I was kind of on her side all through the show. She made herself look like such an idiot. And I want to read a quote here because she had said... This is a quote from her. I wanted to take part in Celebrity Apprentice for 2 reasons. One was to try to do good and raise some money for my charity. And also because I thought it would give me the opportunity for people to see me for who I am and not what they perceive me to be. People perceive me to be simply an appendage of my mother. They perceive me to be spoiled, difficult, unpleasant, and not a hard worker, which is the exact opposite of who I am. And I think and hope people have seen that. Oh my God, quite the opposite. There's one part.
Although she does seem to have put in a fair amount of effort, at least in the few episodes that I
saw.
Yes,
and
I'll
give her
that. So I don't think you can take away the hard work.
But as far as the spoiled and
like
the appendage
of
her mother, because any time that there was any like conflict with Melissa, Joan jumped in.
Yeah.
And they were on separate teams.
Right.
Which I think is genius on Trump's part. I mean.
Yeah, that is a really good thing.
But at one point at the end after Melissa was fired, and by the way, when Melissa got fired, Joan, of course, went with her. So now that's kind of the cliffhanger.
She left?
Yeah. And so that's the cliffhanger. You wonder next week if Joan will be back.
Oh, boy.
But when Melissa was leaving and swearing up a storm and, you know, bleeped here and there, she's even saying things like, you're not getting an effing interview. I'm not giving an interview. Nothing. I just want to leave. Someone get my stuff.
Although, and then did she give an interview?
Apparently they didn't show it on the show, but I'm reading it online here.
Oh, in the Ride of Shame. She actually did.
No, they didn't. There was no Ride of Shame. Oh. She refused to do it. But I mean, apparently she's done an interview about it since then. But really doesn't apologize. I mean, she really was a brat.
Wow.
And Joan, it kind of made Joan look bad too for, you know,
being her mom.
Obviously it's her mother and she's going to, you know, take her daughter's side, but leave with her and just, who takes the show that seriously? I mean, come on. I understand you're on there to like make money for your charity, but
the only thing that I could see from that standpoint is that maybe it wasn't so much about the show as much as defending my child's honor. I mean, I didn't see it, so
okay.
I don't know what happened.
But from Melissa's standpoint.
Right, from Melissa's standpoint, I totally don't understand it because that's the nature of the show. Stuff happens and somebody has to leave every week.
Right.
I mean, how could she possibly think so much so that she was going to be the winner that she just couldn't believe that she was being fired?
Well, I mean, she felt that she was fired unfairly because they lost the challenge, and that was due to, you know, to Brandy, who was the project manager, and Annie Duke, who did most of the work. You know, Melissa did what she was supposed to do, but the reason they let Melissa go was because that they felt that, you know, she wasn't really getting along with the other two and used that as her excuse through the whole challenge. Well, the other two aren't, you know.
Right. I'm not in their little circle, so I don't have to do anything kind of thing.
Though she's still did what was required.
Okay. But I mean, did Melissa get that upset a few weeks ago when whoever was let go because of her DUI? Was she that?
No. Or how about when T-Boz left? When that should have been Melissa. That should have been the week that Melissa left, was that week. But because T-Boz, you know, volunteered to go into the boardroom.
Right. And
he
so
just
he
let
right.
her go.
But you know what I mean? Because from, and I still haven't seen that episode, but from everything I've seen, people were saying that when, was it, who was it? Kardashian, one of the, Khloe Kardashian.
Or Zoe.
Whatever. She, when she was let go, that everyone thought it was unfair because it had nothing to do with the task. Well, where was Melissa then?
Right.
Standing up for fairness on The Apprentice.
I want to tell one last thing. When Joan was leaving, you know, she had words with Annie Duke.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, she's had words with Annie Duke for the for all three of those episodes. But I have her quote here. Your people give money with blood on it. I met your people in Las Vegas. None of them have last names. You're a poker player. And she says it with such conviction. You're a poker player. That's beyond white trash. Poker players are trash, darling.
Wow. Joan's mean.
Wow. It was, but you've got to see her. Do you still have those?
Yeah, I think they're all TiVo'd, yeah.
Watch that one. I mean, okay. Just watch that whole last part of it. It's wow. Unbelievable. I mean, it makes you nervous.
Do you think that, you didn't get the sense that any of it was staged, did you?
No. No.
You should have seen the look on Tony's face just now. That was a very emphatic no. What is going, something's wrong with my phone.
It keeps, in that it's on?
No, it's, no, did you hear it?
I heard a little.
But it vibratored and then it won't stop and then I couldn't turn it on to get rid of whatever notification I'd gotten. I'm going to save that for my iPhone rant. Okay, so that's The Celebrity Apprentice. A few other things in TV. I read online that American Idol this year is getting $623,000 per 30-second commercial. That's insane. I have never gotten $623,000 for 30 seconds of anything.
No.
Or at all.
I want to know where that money's going because it's obviously not going to the...
the people who work there who need to eat.
Well, that. But I'm sure KC came on just for like, you know, a hot meal and a warm bed.
Finally. Stargate Universe is going to be filmed documentary style, which is actually kind of cool. They're doing that to give it more realism. And they said that...
You mean like The Office?
No, not as shaky cam as that, but from the standpoint of if this was a real situation and you were doing a documentary, where would the documentary people, you know, the filmmakers really be able to go? Where would they be able to sit so that they're kind of out of the way but still be able to see everything? Mm-hmm. And how would they shoot it? And they're doing it from that style. And they said they were inspired a lot by Joss Whedon's Firefly because that show was sort of shot in that way. And they also said they're lighting it much more naturally because they didn't want it to be a bunch of actors on a stage or on a set. They wanted it to feel more like you were really in that environment. And supposedly it's going to be a little bit darker than, you know, the other two series, which were very light sci-fi. You know, there was a fair amount of camp, especially in SG-1. Atlantis wasn't as campy, but it still had that element to it. And supposedly Universe is going to be a lot less like that. So it'll be interesting to see how it stacks up with the other two series. Then Gillian Anderson is going to be joining the cast of the BBC's Doctor Who next year. I think she's only on a limited arc, but she plays sort of a bad guy lady who was featured in some of the Doctor Who episodes from the, I think, earlier, you know, much earlier in the 60s or 70s or something like that. And then I was reading something about the pilot for a new show on ABC that's going to start next year, I think, called Flash Forward, that's based on a book. I'm sorry, I forgot the author's name. I should have written it down here, but I didn't. But the premise is that everybody in the world blacks out for a couple minutes, during which they each see a moment from the future of their lives, and it's the same moment. It's 5 months in the future at a particular time on a particular date, and millions of people die after this happens, and everyone else is trying to figure out why it happened and what the things that they saw meant. So it's going to be a sci-fi mystery, you know, in a lot of ways probably similar to Lost because, right, you know, Lost is going off the air next year.
Right.
So I'm sure ABC is, you know, partly into this because of the fact that they need to replace Lost with something that audience is going to really, you know, grab onto. But it sounds really cool from that description anyway.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it for TV. You got anything else?
No.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. All right, everybody, welcome back. We're going to talk about movies now. What do you got, Tony?
I have the same thing you had. I saw the movie you saw last week.
Which was the movie of nothing.
Right.
All right, well, then I'll talk about the movie that we saw this week, which was the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still, starring Keanu Reeves. We watched it on the old Blu-ray.
And?
You know, it was pretty boring. I have to say, I was really disappointed because, you know, that the original is such a classic sci-fi movie. And this one sort of followed the same basic premise where an alien comes to Earth and everybody's threatened by it. And in the remake, basically what's going on is that the aliens have decided that humans need to be eradicated off of the Earth because the Earth is one of the few planets that they know of that can support complex life.
Uh-huh.
And it's dying. And so without really hitting you over the head with the green message, it was still there. But then fortunately John Cleese shows up for two scenes to convince the alien, to convince the alien Keanu Reeves, that we can change. And then Keanu Reeves says, no, you can't, you haven't in, you know, a bazillion years. And then John Cleese asks him, well, you know, what happened to your people? And he's like, well, you know, our son was dying and we had to do something so that we wouldn't go extinct. And he's like, well, that's what I'm talking about. When you had to change, you did. And that's what we're going to do. And Keanu Reeves was like, yeah, I don't think so. And so then Jennifer Connelly and her son, who is not really her son, get in a fight, but then they make up. And then when they make up, the alien sees that.
Wow, you give this all such enthusiasm. Well, I really want to go see this movie.
And this is the point that I'm trying to make, is this is basically how it was all presented. It was all very kind of whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there wasn't a lot of action. There was not a lot in the way of special effects. I mean, I think pretty much every effect in the movie was shown in the trailer,
mm-hmm.
which is not cool for a science fiction movie. And again, it's Keanu Reeves being that same guy who looks kind of mopey a lot and doesn't say much.
Right. Would you rather he be Bill and Ted?
Well, I enjoyed that. Didn't you like the first Bill and Ted?
At the time, but I've seen it recently.
Yeah, it's very dated.
Oh, it's terrible.
It has not survived the years well. But I wouldn't say it's terrible. It's just very dated.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is to blame for a lot of that. There was a tendency back in the day, in the 80s, a lot of the music that was put into movies like that was made specifically for the movie by bands you had pretty much never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are a few exceptions in there. Like, I think Big Pig did a song in there, and they had some other stuff that people knew about. I mean, they were not unknown back then. But a lot of the music that was on that soundtrack was just not good, and by people you had probably.
But
never
the dialogue, heard of. You know, there was a time in the 80s when dialogue was just so stupid.
Well, it was really contrived, and you know, even the John Hughes movies are guilty of that. I mean, the thing is that he was better at it than most people, so he could get away with it more. But I mean, if you go back and look at, you know, some of the dialogue, whether it's in 16 Candles or even more in Breakfast Club or The Worst Offender, Pretty in Pink, that dialogue is really contrived.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
But not Some Kind of Wonderful, which was the best. Well, you know what's funny about that movie is it's the exact same story as Pretty in Pink. It's just they switch the guy and the girl parts.
Yep.
I mean, not on the people. The roles, I mean.
Because that's a completely different movie.
Yeah, you can only make that in Sweden, I think. So it was just not all that interesting of a movie. I'm back on The Day the Earth Stood Still,
yeah,
just in case
that.
You're wondering. And I mean, there were just some really bizarre parts where, like, there were a few scenes where the military was trying to destroy, you know, his robot Gort, who in this movie was not like 9 feet tall, but like 100 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just dumb scenes. It was like, I don't know. It was like different people wrote different parts of the movie or directed it or whatever. It was just very strange. And nothing really happened. So it was kind of boring, and I do not recommend it. Fortunately, it was Netflixed and not a purchase.
That's good, because I was going to ask that.
Yeah. No. I think we learned our lesson with the...
that movie?
I don't remember. Babylon AD, the Vin Diesel film that we bought for some stupid reason. But anyway. Did we talk about, by the way, speaking of Netflix, did we talk about the fact last week that Blockbuster is probably going out of business?
Yes, you did mention that.
Okay, I won't talk about it again then. All right, so in other movie news, Gore Verbinski's Bioshock movie. Did you know that he was working on a Bioshock movie?
I had heard something about it.
Okay, well, it's on hold now because Universal has been a little bit scared off by the $130 million budget. It has not been canceled. They're just trying to look at ways to save money, such as moving the production out of the U.S. because it was going to film in L.A., so they might move it to, you know,
Canada or something.
New Zealand. No, not Canada, someplace further away, right. Either Europe or you know, Australia or New Zealand or something like that. But it'd be cool to see a, I mean, provided the script was good, it'd be cool to see a Bioshock movie.
I agree.
I mean, that's a pretty neat aesthetic to have in a film,
uh-huh.
I think. And you could do a lot with that. Amy Pascal, the co-chairman of Sony Pictures, has said that a lot of people are expecting James Cameron's Avatar to change the movie business in the same way that Star Wars did. I hate seeing quotes like that because every time I see somebody compare something to Star Wars, it's so far...
Maybe she's referring to the prequels.
How did those change the movie business exactly?
Setting an audience up just to be completely let down.
I don't really see Cameron as somebody who would let that happen. Do you?
I don't really know him that well.
No, but I mean, can you think of any movies of his that you thought were just absolutely terrible?
I'm going to look.
Because I can't think of anything. Now, I did not like Titanic, but I understand why people liked it, and I think technically it was incredibly well made.
I was not a huge fan of The Abyss.
Oh, see, I love that movie. The only thing I didn't like about that movie was the ending, but otherwise I love that movie.
Let's see.
I mean, come on, when you can get... What's her name? Mary Stuart Masterson? Or is that...
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Thank you. I always get those two names confused. See, I can't get Some Kind of Wonderful out of my head. That's my problem. Yeah. When you can get Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio to look at Ed Harris and say, Virgil, you wiener, only James Cameron can make that happen.
Or Shecky Green.
Shecky Green.
You know what? I was not a huge fan of Piranha Part 2, The Spawning.
Okay, I never saw that. It's really? Like did he direct that?
Yeah, it's like his second movie.
Before Terminator?
Yes.
Okay, I'm talking about Terminator or after that.
Let's see.
Read them off. You got Terminator.
Aliens.
The Abyss.
Terminator 2.
Okay. Which you have to see again because there's no reason for you to not like that movie.
Okay. True Lies.
Fantastic movie.
Titanic.
Yeah.
Then some TV stuff.
Yeah.
Expedition Bismarck. Oh,
no, just movies.
Ghosts of the Abyss.
No, just movies.
That's a movie.
No, that's not a real, that's not a narrative.
Aliens of the Deep.
That's still not, that's all that documentary stuff after Titanic.
That's it.
See? Avatar, so there you go. Nice. So
and
there you go.
Battle Angel.
I don't know what that is.
I'll tell you what that is.
But what I'm saying is the guy's got a pretty good track record for his theatrical movies. Ever since Terminator, right?
Yeah.
True Lies, they keep talking about that there's going to be a sequel.
Really?
You can't do that without Schwarzenegger, though.
Yeah, that would be dumb.
You can't do it.
Battle Angel is based on a graphic novel, and there's nothing's been done about it.
Oh, so it's a future thing.
Oh, yeah. Comes out in 2011.
Okay. All right, so I think it's safe to say that Avatar probably will be good in some respect. But I just, you know, I always go back to thinking about when The Fifth Element was released and the early reviews were like, oh, it's like Star Wars for the 90s. Okay, again, there was nothing Star Wars-like about The Fifth Element other than that it was set in the future. Oh, although that doesn't even have anything to do with Star Wars. But the fact that there were spaceships in it, that was the only similarity.
Because as we know, Star Wars was a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yes.
Right, and this took place centered on Earth. What? Again, nothing. There was no similarity. Well, they both had Ian Holm. Wasn't he one of the Ewoks?
Was he?
No, he wasn't one of the Ewoks. He's not that short. Okay, then you want to talk about the next thing?
Yes. So after doing a little putzing around on the internet on one of my high-def sites.
Which really, I think the people who created the internet, that's really what they had in mind.
Yeah, putzing.
Let's just put this thing together for people to putz around on.
I found that anyone who owns, still has some HD DVDs, you know, HD DVD was...
Format war.
Right, between Blu-ray and Blu-ray won out. So now there are people who are stuck with, me being one of them, lots of HD DVDs. But my player plays both the HD DVDs and the Blu-rays.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
But anyway, Warner Brothers, if any of those movies are Warner Brothers, who just last week I was calling whores.
Because of their commitment to the
supporting,
CBHD
Well, supporting
format.
Any format that comes along.
Yeah, well, you know. Times are tough. You got to make a penny where you
can.
Well,
I'm going to take those words back.
Ooh.
Because now, if you have some HD DVDs of Warner Brothers movies and they are available on Blu-ray, they will replace them for less than $5 a piece.
See, that is an awesome deal.
It really is awesome. And on top of that, they you actually pay for the shipping and handling, but they give you.
Can you do multiples at a time so that you're combining the shipping and handling?
I had done 7 movies at a time.
And what was the shipping? On that order. Do you remember?
I don't.
This is not useful
minimal information. I know. It was minimal.
But I mean, it was like $5.
I didn't realize you were going to get so personal.
Well, you're telling the story.
But you're asking me about shipping and handling.
Okay. But anyway, was it
like
$5?
I like to leave my handling.
Off the air.
Right.
Was it like $5 or was it like $20 for shipping?
Oh, it wasn't $20. Wait. You know what? I'll go into my email. I'll find it. I got it.
Okay. But so is it everything?
Okay, shipping and handling was $7 for all 7 movies.
Oh, so that's not bad. That's a pretty good deal.
So, no, I do have some Warner Brothers movies that I guess aren't out on Blu-ray yet,
yeah.
So that was not part of the offer. But okay. Here, I'll just read off the movies that
you exchange, or
right.
Just the ones that are you know are available.
Okay. Well, there's 126 that you can exchange.
That's a pretty good deal. And they have a list of them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what you do is you go in and you pick the ones that you want to exchange. And here's the thing. You have to send them, obviously, some proof of purchase. And rather than sending, you know, they don't want you to send the discs back. And that would just be a pain anyway. I mean, they don't want those. So all you do is you take the cover art out with the proof of purchase on it. So that's all you're sending back is just, you know, the slip from inside the case.
Right.
So, and they give you a label to just affix on top of an envelope. And it covers the shipping or the postage for that as well.
Oh, that's very cool.
The movies that I exchanged were Batman Begins, Blade Runner. Now, Blade Runner was a little more because it was like a 5-disc set.
Okay.
So, Batman Begins, Blade Runner, Blood Diamond, Casablanca, The Departed, Goodfellas, and Training Day. And do all 7 of those, now keep in mind Blade Runner was a little more.
Including shipping.
Including shipping and including tax was $54.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's an awesome deal right there.
So if anyone else wants to do this, the website is redtoblue.com. That's RED2BLU.com. And it completely walks you through it. And also, there's the label that they give you that you put on the envelope. There's a barcode on there, and you can completely track everything that's being done. So you can track when they get your...
Oh, that's very cool.
When you get your slips and, you know, when they're sending it out. And they say it will be about 4 weeks.
That's pretty cool. And usually these days, usually it's less than that.
Yeah.
Ever since stuff, you know, any of these things that
you do. Well,
that's
because they don't want people calling up and complaining. Like,
right.
You said it was going to be 2 weeks and it's been 2.5 weeks.
But, you know, like used to be like when we were kids, if you collected box tops for something and it said allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery, if you got it in 10 weeks, you were lucky.
Right.
You know, because first of all, mail took like a month and a half back then, you know, because they were still using the Pony Express. I don't know what was going on. Everything was so much slower back then. Now, anything that you can initiate online, I've actually gotten stuff before I ordered it ever since the advent of the internet.
What?
I'm kidding, but still. I mean, things happen a lot faster now, which is nice. Even rebates. I'm always skeptical. Every time I send in something for a rebate, I'm like, I'm never seeing that money.
Right.
But I've gotten them every time.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty nice thing. Well, that is very cool. And I think people are going to be very excited about that. So it's RED2BLU.com.
Correct.
All right, cool. Then another thing I wanted to mention is that Robert Rodriguez, now what has he done again?
From Dusk Till Dawn, El Mariachi, Spy Kids.
Okay, right. That's what I was thinking of, those last two. He is rebooting both the Jetsons and Predator franchises. Now, Predator, that could be very scary because the first Predator, classic film.
Really?
Have you not seen that movie?
Talk about campy. That movie's so campy.
What? The first Predator?
Yeah.
I don't think we have the same definition of camp. What was campy about that movie? Campy is like where the movie's tongue-in-cheek. There was nothing tongue-in-cheek about that film.
The dialogue is... Well, maybe the dialogue's just laughable. Okay, maybe not campy,
okay,
but
the dialogue
laughable.
Is very laughable, but it was a great action movie. It's a great action movie. You haven't seen it in years, have you?
I haven't.
No. You have to watch it again. It's really good. It's really good. I mean, the effects are very dated now, but the electronic effects, you know, like the things that you see from the Predator's point of view, those are very dated. But it's a very solid action movie. Again, one of John McTiernan's finer films, I think. But Jetsons, was there a Jetsons movie franchise to be rebooted?
I don't know. You know, why would you mess with that? Look what they did to the Flintstones.
I never saw any of those movies because they looked terrible.
Terrible.
They looked awful, and I never saw a single one. How many were there? There were like 8 of them, weren't
there?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
And the second one didn't even have the same cast as the first one.
Why would you do that?
Like in the second one, like in the first one, Barney Rubble was Rick Moranis. In the second one, it was Stephen Baldwin.
That makes no sense.
No.
You know, I think that Jetsons would actually be, if you could get the voices right, and that's one of the things, because the voices
are
so key.
I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstand. It's going to be live action?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's going to be live action or 3D. I was going to say, if you could nail the voices, that would
actually be animated.
That's what I mean. Like 3D animated, like, you know, Pixar kind of stuff.
Right.
Sorry. But if you could get good voice talent for that, that would be a movie that I think as a 3D animated film would actually be really good.
I'll agree with that. Because it could be along the lines of like The Incredibles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Jetsons had such a cool aesthetic. There was so much neat stuff in there. And it was kind of, you know, honeymooners type of har-har kind of funny. But you could do something cool with that.
Yeah, you forgot to mention that he's also redoing Barbarella.
I didn't know that. Oh, I wonder who he would cast.
Live action version of the Jetsons.
Does it say who he's going to cast as Barbarella? I'm going to guess Amy Adams.
No. It just...
Because don't you think that with the right makeup and hair and fake boobs and stuff that Amy Adams could look kind of like young Jane Fonda?
Yeah.
As Barbarella.
I'll give you that.
And she could carry it, acting-wise. I mean, not that there was much acting going on in that movie. Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw it.
Oh, my God. I don't know why.
It looks terrible.
It was awful. It was a terrible movie as a film. It's cool to watch just as like, wow, I can't believe that this movie actually got made. Terrible movie, though. And I know some people are going to be very angry with me for saying that, but I don't really care. And as it turns out, Schwarzenegger is in fact going to be in Terminator Salvation, but it's not going to be him. He's going to be in the movie digitally. They took a full body cast that was made of him for the original film.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that was used to make either puppets or 3D models or something that are actually like living, breathing in the film. I guess there's a scene where somebody opens a door and there's a room of all these like future Terminators and they're all him, which is interesting because, you know, people have been saying for a long time, how long is it going to be before actors are digital?
Right.
And, you know, there have been things in the past when somebody died and then their face was like digitally mapped to another actor. But I don't know if I can remember where a time in the past when there was something like this done.
R2-D2.
That's a robot. That doesn't count.
Don't ruin my childhood dreams. Sorry.
I didn't say it was fake. I said it was a robot.
Oh, okay.
They can't die. They just get switched off. So that's all I have for movie news. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about everything else. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. We're back then, officially.
Oh.
And I just learned that Tony does an excellent impersonation of Henry Kissinger.
Without even knowing it.
So I'm going to ask that you do this entire segment.
No, I'm not doing anything as Henry Kissinger.
Please just do the segment as Henry Kissinger. I think the fans will really appreciate it. That was me.
Apparently you're going to do the whole segment as Henry Kissinger.
No, I'm not. All right, let's get right into it. We got a lot of stuff to go over. This has been a good week for technology and
we've got a lot
rumors
of
mush. And we got thank
we
you.
We have got a pile of mush mush.
And we'll have to clean
that
up.
Bring
post-taste.
Up a very nice
no,
visual.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't at all. All right. First is a rumor that Microsoft is working on a secret new smartphone project called Pink with a modified version of Windows Mobile. And Microsoft is going to design both, the hardware and the software. And like Apple, will have it manufactured by a third party. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm glad they didn't call it the Zune phone because that's just, that's the
I mean, I suppose it could be if there is in fact going to be a Zune phone, I suppose that could be what Pink refers to. Yeah, but I don't think it would be good for them to call it the Zune phone. That doesn't have a good connotation.
No.
But I think that's interesting. You know, it's funny because
why do they have to do everything?
Well, why wouldn't you? They've got so many of the pieces already together. The thing that's funny about Microsoft is they've always made stuff. They've always made things that do what they were designed to do pretty well. And, you know, not perfect, obviously. But they haven't necessarily been pretty, and they haven't necessarily worked together as well as they could. Even up to the last version of Office, not the current version, but even up to the last version of Office, if you wanted to go in and change the default file location, for instance, for Word or Excel or whatever, the place in each of those programs that you would do that was in a different place. It was like, you know, they had so many different groups working on different parts of the same thing that there were a lot of inconsistencies in terms of how things were done. And I think they've definitely gotten a lot better about that. But what's also interesting about Microsoft is they're finally starting to own up to the things that they do really poorly and trying really hard to do better at those things. I mean, I know you don't follow this stuff much, but there's a blog for the Windows 7 engineering team that they've been, you know, blogging about their progress on Windows 7 for a long time now. And a lot of the things that they've been talking about are things that Microsoft never would have talked about publicly during the development of the next major revision of their operating system. And so people were impressed with that also. But then there were some other things that came up, and we've talked about some of these a little bit in the past, but there were some things that came up where people were like, no, this is the wrong way to do this. This is absolutely should not be done this way. It's going to confuse people. And Microsoft has actually said, you know what? You're right. We're going to change the way we're doing that. And there were major components of Windows 7 security features, for instance.
Right.
So I think it's kind of interesting that they're owning up to the stuff that they're not that great at and trying to do it better now. And Windows Mobile certainly is one of those things. I mean, I've had a couple Windows Mobile devices. I kind of liked them, except for the last one, which I hated. But, I mean, you just cannot compare Windows Mobile to the iPhone in terms of how easy it is to use and stuff like that. So it's nice that they're at least trying to do better.
Yeah, because, as long as they don't, you know, come out with another Zune.
Well, did you ever use a Zune?
Yeah, my boss has one at work.
Oh, really? Are you just saying that?
Am I just saying that? What, to score points with the boss?
No, are you just saying that, or is that
no,
really
true?
No,
it's terrible.
Oh, okay.
No, I swear to God.
Is it really? Because a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people.
Why would I make that up?
I don't know, because I was going to give you a hard time if you had never used one and were complaining about it.
Okay, here's the thing. It's such a terrible ripoff. I'm not saying terrible, like, it's a ripoff of the iPod, but it's a terrible one. You know what I mean?
Like a poorly implemented ripoff.
Right. It's like, okay, we're going to try and come as close to this thing as possible, but make enough changes that, you know, people won't notice it's a huge ripoff.
Right.
And then the changes are terrible.
I see what you're saying. Because I, you know, I hate iTunes. The software, I think, is dreadful. And I actually really like the Media Center, the Windows Media Center. I think that's great. And so the Zune is not set up similar to how Windows Media Center works?
Somewhat.
Yeah. You don't like that interface? I'm surprised because
I've only seen the Zune. I mean, I haven't seen how it like connects to the computer or how all that stuff is. I've only seen the actual unit.
Right, so the interface on the device is what you don't like.
No, it just, you know what? Okay, let me just say maybe I'm more comfortable with the iPod because that's what I know.
Right.
So maybe for that, I'm a little biased. But
now, did you have an iPod before you had the iPhone?
Yes. I still have it.
Okay. Because
the fifth generation.
Cuz I you know, we have the previous generation Nano.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say I don't like the interface is fine. It, you know, it's fairly easy to go back and forth between stuff. But physically, I think the interface sucks. It's really easy to overshoot what you're trying to do or accidentally, like, you know, touch it or click it in a way that it thinks that you're clicking when really you were just trying to scroll.
Right.
And that kind of stuff I hate about
it. Maybe that's your fat fingers.
Well, it could be. You let me have it. What else you got? Okay. Mr. Insulter. No, and I've never used the Zune, so I can't speak about it one way or another. But obviously, it has not been as well embraced as the iPod, so I don't think there's any competition there. But like I said, I think it's interesting that they're they're trying to improve some of these things that they have not had good luck with in the past, you know, by their own missteps.
I mean, we could speculate for hours. We just have to wait and see.
Right. That's true. All right. So GM announced on Monday that Pontiac will, in fact, be phased out by the end of next year, which is actually kind of sad. I mean, I didn't really care when Oldsmobile went away, but there's something about Pontiac. I mean, come on, the Trans Am. Smokey and the Bandit would have never existed if it weren't for Pontiac.
He would have driven a Chevette.
Well, I'm thinking probably not a Chevette, but, you know, it wouldn't have been a Trans Am. And one of the things that's interesting about that is that Holden, which is GM's Australian division, stands to lose $1 billion a year in Australian dollars as a result of that, because their Commodore, which is one of their most successful cars ever, is sold here as the Pontiac G8. And it's probably, without question, one of the best cars that's ever had the Pontiac badge on it in, you know, in decades. And again, not developed in this country, which is really sad. But that's not a good thing for Holden either, because, you know, everybody, all the car companies all over the world are having trouble right now. It's not just here. And so that's not good either. But yeah, so Pontiac's going away, which is, so now it's going to be Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC trucks. And I really think they should get rid of Buick too. I don't really see the point of Buick. First of all, I know you don't know that much about cars.
You're waiting for me to like comment.
I know you don't know that much about cars, but most of Buick's cars right now, I think, are pretty hideous. So I don't have any idea why they're keeping that around. And I think the Japanese car companies have shown really well that you don't need more than two levels of cars to appeal to all parts of the market. I mean, you've got, you know, like with Honda and Acura, with Toyota and Lexus. I mean, you don't need a third group of cars. You can have upscale cars at the top end of your, you know, basic range, and you can have lower end cars at the bottom end of your upscale range. And that kind of serves the needs of something like a Buick, I think. It just seems like a redundant waste to me to keep Buick around. But, you know, President Obama has not appointed me head of the American Auto
it's
Industry
coming,
Task
I'm sure.
Force. Yeah, I'm sure. Maybe I should turn my ringer back on. So that's that. Then the Palm Prix has begun shipping to the United States. The rumor release dates are either May 17th or June 7th. And if you go to the website prethinking.com, you can see screenshots of the Prix's interface, which looks very nice. And one of the nice things about it is it doesn't look like it's trying to rip off the iPhone. Right. I mean, obviously there are going to be similarities because it's a touchscreen phone, so you're going to see a bunch of icons and stuff like that, but it doesn't look like they tried to copy it exactly. It looks like it has its own sort of look and feel to it, which is pretty cool. Then there's a company called Innova that has a division called Ion Technologies that next year is going to release a USB flash drive that has an OLED screen on it and a biometric thumbprint scanner. So you'll have to put your thumb on it to let it, you know, so that it lets you have access to your files, and you can use the little screen on it to see what files are on there, which is really cool because a lot of times I forget what I put on my flash drive. And, you know, I don't want to waste time hooking it up and copying files if I don't have to. So that's kind of cool. No price has been set yet. And then I don't know if you heard this story. There's a guy who paid over $2,000 for a MacBook Pro at a Best Buy, got it home, opened it up, and found that there was no computer in there, but there was a brick inside, an actual brick. And Best Buy is claiming it's Apple's fault and isn't going to do anything about it. And now the guy's trying to work with his credit card company to get his money back. But don't you think that the guy just took his computer out and put a brick in there? And
yes.
Then, I mean, I cannot imagine that there's any possible way that a MacBook box was packed in China or wherever they're manufactured with a paving stone inside instead of a computer. I mean, it sounds like the guy's trying to get a free computer.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because that might answer it all.
What, you mean if it was California?
Yeah.
Well,
I just realized I could be insulting a certain state or city, so... Yeah, California. That's good.
Well, what were you going to say? Where were you thinking that it would happen?
I wasn't.
Okay. You're just trying to get out of your joke
am.
Now, aren't you? All right. But I think the feds should look into this guy.
The feds?
Why not? Isn't that what they do? iTunes 8.2, which is not out yet, but is required for the latest iPhone OS 3.0 beta, mentions Blu-ray in it. So there are rumors circulating that Blu-ray may be finally coming to the Mac at some point in the not-too-distant future. It does make sense, but why hasn't it been there yet? I mean, at least as an option. That's why I get so upset with Apple. They don't give people enough options. It's like, no, we decided you're not allowed to have Blu-ray. Don't you think that's kind of ridiculous? That you can't even configure the Mac with Blu-ray if you want it?
Right. I agree.
Stupid. And Vista SP2 is coming soon. It's already been released to manufacturing, but does anybody really care since Windows 7 is on the horizon? That's another thing that's coming on May 5th. Our release candidate for Windows 7 is going to be out on May 5th. And I think people will be able to just download it just like they did the original public beta, which would be pretty cool.
So what's that mean exactly?
It means that as far as they're concerned, you know, except for any glaring bugs that come up, that's the final build.
And you could just download it?
You can just download it. It's going to expire, though. So, you know, you'll still have to go out and buy a copy to upgrade to at some point.
Right.
But yeah, so anyone who wants to take a look will be able to take a look and play around with it. And it is, in fact, pretty cool. Well, what's nice about it is it keeps all the stuff about Windows Vista that is cool, like the user interface for the most part, which is very pretty. You know, the Aero interface is nice and all that kind of stuff. But they've made a lot of improvements to how certain functionality works. The taskbar at the bottom has been completely reworked, as you've seen and that we've talked about here before. And it's pretty cool. But the other thing is it's a lot faster. So it's like the look and feel of Vista with a bunch of functionality improvements and the speed of XP. And it's not quite as fast as XP, especially on lower end hardware, but it's a lot more responsive than Vista is. And really, the system requirements of Vista have been my only complaint about it at all, because I think it's great. And then another thing that happened is that, GE announced a breakthrough in holographic storage that could lead to 500 gigabyte disks that are the same size as a DVD or a Blu-ray disc, and sell for an initial price of 10 cents per gigabyte. Now, just by contrast, Blu-ray started out at about $1 a gigabyte and has dropped to about half of that since then in terms of what it costs to, you know, make it available as a product to the consumer. So that's pretty cool. And holographic storage has been around, at least in concept, since the 60s, but, you know, there have been a lot of roadblocks. And really, basically, the difference between that and traditional optical media is that rather than the data just being stored on a single, you know, flat surface, it's stored on multiple levels.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
On the same surface. It's 3D storage,
yeah,
basically.
Okay.
So, but it's a good thing, trust me. OWC has released a USB to DVI adapter that lets you run up to 6 additional screens off of the USB hubs on your PC, which is very cool, and it's only $100.
I don't ever have to do that.
I know, but you could.
I know, but I don't want to.
You wouldn't want to have multi-monitors on your computer?
I don't need that.
Oh, my God. It's a good thing, trust me. I'm going to do that here as soon as I upgrade my computer at work here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have 2 screens. I might have 8 screens if I buy one of those OWC things.
That seems like overcompensation
Then I could get a bottle of wine.
You're compensating for something else.
Then I could get a bottle of wine and dance around while working on my computer, just like Hugh Jackman in Swordfish. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
One of the most ridiculous scenes from a movie ever. So stupid. Apple has headhunted Bob Dreben, or however you say it, from AMD's graphics product group to be a senior VP at Apple. And the rumor is that he's working on a system on chip for Apple's mobile devices that would basically be and some kind of enhanced GPU. So, for instance, in other words, the iPhone could totally rock at 3D games as opposed to just kind of being okay. But that's still a rumor. So, I mean, it's not a rumor that they hired him. It's a rumor what they're doing with him. But, you know, AMD owns ATI.
Like my rumor that KC had a stroke.
No, you just made that up. That's completely different.
Based on his face. It was all based on his face.
I don't think that's fair. I think if you're going to say that about someone, it should be about Claire's mom on Heroes.
Yeah, well, we've mentioned that before as well.
Yeah. And that was even before the official launch of the What's Wrong With Her Face segment.
Right.
So maybe we should go back and redo some of those. Give it the old George Lucas treatment. Maybe we could put Jabba the Hutt in a few episodes. What do you think? No?
Oh, you're waiting for a response? Really, you're waiting for
you're
a response?
You're the only other person in the room.
I thought it was rhetorical.
No. I was looking right at you. And we could see a media pad, as it's being called, or an iPhone Lite from Apple soon, maybe even announced at the WWDC, which is also coming up soon, for Verizon. There have been so many rumors lately about Apple working on some either new phone or some other kind of telephony device for Verizon that it almost can't be not true. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Are you still awake?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. Because it's awfully quiet over there.
You said you read a lot of stuff. We do have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but it's a lot of stuff that people are going to be interested in. Made more interesting when there's conversation and not one sleeping guy at the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, you lose me in some of this. Some of this is just so technical that, like...
Okay, what did I say that was technical?
Well, like, you want me to be honest? You want me to be honest right on the air here?
Yeah.
Like, come on, who really cares about the Blu-ray,
the holographic storage?
Yeah, no one cares about that.
Oh, you are so wrong about that. That's a cool thing.
Okay.
Especially in light of the fact, if you look at item O down below, you know that company Red that makes those like cool, really cool cameras, like super high resolution, like 45 megabyte per image, high res digital cameras. Well, they have a video camera called the Red One, which shoots at 4K, which is what, if you go to the movies and you see a movie that was shot digitally, it's shot on this 4K system.
Okay,
you know, chances are it's shot on this 4K system or something like it. Well, they're going to supposedly start pushing that with lower cost cameras and projectors and stuff so that more of, you know, movies can be made in that format and more theaters will be able to show it. But they're also saying that it might trickle down to actually be the next HD format for consumers. And if that's the case, they're going to need something to store that on. So a 500 gigabyte disc that's the same size as a DVD, don't you think that's kind of a necessary thing then?
I don't find any of that exciting.
Okay. Mr. Blu-ray.
Let's
Mr.
go back Red to the pans.
Yeah. You want to talk about ceramic
pans right now?
Well, do you want to talk about the portable espresso maker?
If you'd like. Do you
I don't know anything about it.
No.
I don't. HP has announced a series of ProBook laptops for business users that are going to have LED backlit displays, which are always nice. And that one thing that they said about them is that the keyboards are going to be raised so that like dirt and grime doesn't get in them. I don't think I can picture what that means. But it sounds good because I hate that. I hate it when I see crumbs and gunk getting in my keyboard.
Yeah.
And global wireless built in, which is pretty cool. Those will be available in June with no pricing set yet. Windows Mobile 6.5 is going to get Tell Me voice command interface. Now, that is actually really cool. It's not just voice dialing, but it's where you could say, search Google for the nearest pizza place. You could just say that to your phone, and it'll give you a response.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's cool?
Aren't there applications like that on the iPhone?
I don't know.
Well, I guess it's not universal for the whole phone. I mean,
right.
For any
and
function.
This is going to be built into the OS, which is pretty cool. Seagate came out with something called the Replica, which is like Time Machine for the Mac. And it's basically a backup drive and software that lets you sort of go back in time if you screwed something up or want to get back a previous version of a file that you had before. So that's pretty neat. $130 for a 250 gig version. Or $200 for a 500 gig version. And I could not believe this. Best Buy has been doing trials of vinyl record sales in 100 stores, and the sales are so good that they're thinking of rolling it out to all of their stores. Don't you think that's wacky?
It is, in that you either have to carry a lot of vinyl. I mean, I would imagine people who buy vinyl have pretty particular tastes. I mean...
Per individual, not like universally the same particular
taste. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Although I can definitely see where classical, jazz, and certain types of disco would probably be the three biggest sellers.
I don't know about disco.
You don't think so?
No, who's buying disco LPs?
I don't mean disco like 70s disco. I mean any like dance.
So you mean like dance? Well, that's different than disco.
Yeah, but I mean like stuff that DJs would want to buy.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I'm sure they love that you're calling it disco.
I think a lot of them call it disco.
No, they don't.
Okay. Podcast@pause.com. Let us know what you think about that. DJs, please let us know immediately. I need to win another bet. But here's why it's not wacky. Because CD sales have been dropping because, you know, digital music is so huge now that it actually makes sense because now you're going to start to see people fall into two groups. People who are fine with digital music. And people who want something that's much better quality. Because, you know, MP3s really don't sound that great if you compare them to, especially an analog recording. I personally could not take care of records or a record player enough to warrant me owning vinyl again. But I do think it's interesting that it's coming back. You know, a few years ago in Japan, they started coming out with these little mini turntables and records that were about the size of a CD. And they were selling like crazy. And they were mostly geared towards, you know, kids and teenagers and stuff like that. But, you know, records are really cheap to produce because they're
pressed.
Well, I guess CDs are stamped now too. But I do think that's kind of interesting. I just can't imagine going back into a Best Buy and seeing a rack full of records again. It's bizarre. I think they should do it with 78s.
And they come out with the old Victrolas.
Because they weighed a ton, and you could only get like 47 seconds of music on them. I don't understand the point of that format ever. Oh, I guess it sounded better than the other ones, but still. And then also talking about 4K video is that the Red One was used to shoot video of Megan Fox for the cover of Esquire that she's either on or is going to be on soon. And the still that they used for the cover was taken from that video. And that's, I think, the first time that's ever been done where a major magazine has had their cover art shot on video rather than film. Because, you know, video has never been able to have the resolution of film, especially for something that, you know, that you're looking at a full page size.
Is this magazine like already out?
I don't know if it's already out. I don't know. I saw a picture of the cover, so it might be out or it might be forthcoming soon. But hey, if you're going to look at something in high resolution video, might as well be Megan Fox. You know what I'm saying? What? Are you looking it up?
I see if it's out already. Yeah, I'm looking for it. But I mean, nothing.
What?
Well, that's not exciting.
Did you like the E-Ink cover of Esquire? Didn't you think that was cool that they did that?
Yeah, but that's cooler than this.
Okay.
I mean, I don't care how they got the picture. Just, you know, take a good picture.
All right, fine. And then the last thing I have is that Cablevision is rolling out 101 megabit internet in the New York area over the next 2 weeks for $100 a month. That is phenomenal. 101 megabit. That's Ethernet.
So wait, it's...
So that's about...
Oh, I understand
six
the speed.
Times as fast as what we get on Comcast.
I understand
Comcast
the speed.
Here.
I'm just... Okay, I got it.
What were you trying to work out there?
Well, I understand how the Cablevision is a cable
company.
Company.
Yeah, oh, you didn't know that.
No.
Okay. No, it's not a superpower. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Okay. You got anything else?
No.
All right.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. That's rude.
Next time we got to go through and prune a little.
Or maybe both of us could contribute to the outline.
How do I contribute to something that I know absolutely? You know, how am I going to contribute to the? Okay, let's go back a little to the USB to DVI adapter.
What? People like to have multi monitors on
Who?
Their computer. It's cool.
I mean, who's listening to this? That's really cool. Oh my god, that's so cool.
I know. Podcast@pause.com.
Please
let us know.
Podcast@pause.com.
Please let us know. Seriously, multi-monitors is cool. Have you ever used a computer with two monitors?
Yes, actually, I've used my computer with two monitors.
And you didn't think it was cool?
At that time, it was cool, but I mean, I would not do it all the time.
Yeah. I'm totally going to switch. I'm totally switching to two monitors.
You know, this is kind of the section where we, you know.
Well, apparently for some of us, this is the section where we go to sleep. That's all I'm saying. All right, we're going to move on to our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. You
just witnessed my worst entertainment moment of the week.
That cannot possibly be true.
No, I won't. No, it's not.
Okay.
Worst entertainment moment of the week. I've already discussed it. It's Melissa Rivers' little bratty pants.
No, wait. What was the worst part about it? That it happened?
That
Or just that she's
that she just
so horrible?
Took it so... Like the whole thing so seriously as to have such no, because really, because I was on her side through the whole series, and then like her little tantrum.
Like, did you not like that Brandy and Annie Duke were kind of buddy buddy in excluding her?
No, it wasn't cool. But I mean, I'll tell you right now, they're the mature ones to me after her little her little tantrum.
It must have been really bad.
Oh,
I can't wait to see it.
You've got to see it.
I can't wait to see it.
Everything comes out of her mouth is bleeped. And then go online and look for what she actually said.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know you could put those words together.
And form a sentence. Where did you find him online?
Realityblur.com.
Oh, because I was going to say, somebody from the show had to have provided that.
Yeah, realityblur.com, because everything she said.
Did they bleep out her mouth, too? I mean, did they cover her
no,
mouth?
No, you can.
So maybe they just had a deaf guy write it out. Right?
Your turn.
What? My worst entertainment moment of the week is the fact that we're not sure if Chuck's coming back. And I still don't know how I feel about the fact that now he knows Kung Fu. Because, you know, like I said before, that could go either way. But, you know, it's just such a good show and such a unique show that I just would be so sad if it doesn't come back. So NBC, please do us all a favor. Hey, I had Subway twice on Monday. Okay.
Yeah, what was that whole Subway thing?
Well, Subway has been one of the major sponsors of the show. Uh-huh. So they want to, you know, and it's very difficult sometimes, even if people, I mean, even if you got 100,000 people to write letters to NBC, all they care about is making money from advertising. So all the advertisers care about is whether or not they're
making money.
Ad money is well spent.
Right.
So by getting people to go to Subway and say, hey, I
That's
came here
idea.
Today to support you supporting Chuck, they were hoping that they would see that it's worth doing and that hopefully even Subway would tell NBC, look, we'd really like to keep sponsoring this. I mean, you know, look at Coke and Ford on American Idol. You know, once they're into something good, you know, they want to stick with
right.
it. Unfortunately, Chuck's ratings are not as quite as high as American Idol's. So and we got a little bit to worry about. But that was my worst moment, is just that it may potentially be over. So there you go.
So basically your worst moment is based on something that's not even real yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you could burn that on a holographic disc. All right.
How would I do that exactly? I don't think there's even development software.
Oh, maybe
yet.
You could use your where is that?
My OWC.
What's that cable? What's that cable you can use for that?
Huh?
Your OWC.
It's not a cable. It's a dongle.
Maybe Bob Drebin will help you.
Hey, he probably could. He seems like a smart guy.
All right. Moving on.
That was nice. That was a nice pull.
You like that?
Oh, yeah, you got Bob Drebin out of there pretty quick. All right, so your best entertainment moment of the week?
My best entertainment moment of the week is, I didn't even bring this up in TV because I wanted to talk about it here. Michael Scott is back working at Dunder Mifflin.
Yay! Yeah, that was very rewarding.
Yeah.
I did not like that whole little
no.
side skirt that
no,
they pulled
I'm
on
glad
us.
It's over. And yeah. I like the way that he got it back. I mean, I thought that was done very, very well.
Well, you know, there was a lot of really funny stuff in that episode. Like, what happened was Jim is the one who really... architected
right.
the whole thing.
Because he could have blown the whistle on the fact that they were broke.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But instead, he made it seem... Now, what's the guy's name, the head honcho guy who came to visit?
Oh, darn it.
David.
Yeah. David Sullivan, maybe?
No.
No?
Where'd you get Sullivan?
Pretty much where you think I got it.
What else is there? no, David, I can't remember his last name, but anyway, so David came in and so it was David, Charles.
You sure it's not David Sullivan?
It's not David
I'm
Sullivan.
Going with Sullivan.
It's not Sullivan.
Go ahead.
Okay. So it was David, Charles, Jim, and Dwight. And what was great about it too was, you know, ever since Charles has showed up, every time Jim has tried to impress him, he's made a complete fool out of himself. And so it was really funny because, you know, David said that he wanted Jim in on the meeting to figure out how the... Well, see, okay, we need to back up further.
David Wallace.
David Wallace. Not even close
Very
to
close
Sullivan.
To Sullivan. They both have two L's. That's really
and,
it, really.
and an A. The reason that David was there in the first place is because their branch had been losing sales to the Michael Scott Paper Company. Well, it was only because... Michael's such an idiot that he was pricing stuff lower than what it actually cost them. You know, we lose money on every transaction, but we'll make it up in volume. That was Michael's strategy, basically. And so so David wanted Jim to help, and Charles was like, no, Jim, I don't know about him. Dwight's my guy. And then Dwight, what was it that he kept recommending?
Bees. Swarm of bees.
He wanted to get rid of the competition with bees, which yeah. was hilarious because it just made Charles look like a complete buffoon. So Jim has the great idea to suggest that maybe they offer to buy out the Michael Scott Paper Company. And so he goes down there and he tells them, and they're like, but we don't have any money. He's like, I'm sorry, what was that? You know, trying to pretend like he didn't know that, which Michael finally catches on to. But I thought one of the funniest moments in the show is that when then Michael and Pam and
Ryan
were going upstairs to the meeting, how Ryan and Pam kept saying, remember, don't tell them we're broke. And he's like, don't worry about it. They're like, seriously, don't tell them we're broke. He's like, hey, it's fine. And then the elevator opens. He's like, oh, I'm just afraid I'm going to say it. That was so funny. It was so funny because it was like one of those really uncomfortable Michael Scott moments. And then Michael Scott ended up turning the whole thing around and he played hardball.
It was great.
It was great. They got some money out of it. And Ryan kept trying to get all the money from Michael and Pam. Right. But in the end, they didn't actually get any money, right? They just got their jobs back.
Right.
And Pam is promoted to a salesperson now, uh-huh. which is really cool. So
and that'll actually, I think, lend a lot to future like storylines where there'll be this competition between Pam and Jim, I think.
You don't think they'll be going out on sales calls together?
That's not interesting. No.
Well, it could be if they're making fun of...
The competition between them, I think, would be much better.
It could be if they're making fun of people. Because that was one of the things that I loved about them when they were, like, you know, pulling pranks on Dwight and stuff, like, in the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only bad thing about that would be that I guarantee you that if they did that, then the writers would go the whole route of they go to a sales call and somebody that they meet with is into Pam, and it's a big customer that they're trying to get. And so now Jim's conflicted because... You know what I mean? I could totally see them doing that based on everything that they've done for the last two seasons.
Right.
But I have to agree that that was a really good episode of The Office. And I was so glad that the whole thing was finally over. Now, is Charles gone now? I forget. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, he's so he's gone. Huh. Well, that's good. I didn't like him. And then we don't have to watch.
But if you miss him, you could go see him in the Beyonce movie Obsessed.
That's true. I don't really miss him all that much.
And which was number one this week.
Really?
Can you believe that?
Well, what else opened?
Well, that Robert Downey Jr. Jamie Foxx movie was number four. I mean, not that I want to see that movie, but you would expect that to get a bigger audience than that terrible-looking Beyonce Ellie Roger movie.
I wouldn't expect that, actually. You know why? Because people don't want to see Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx doing that. They want to see Robert Downey Jr. flying around in a suit, and they want to see Jamie Foxx, you know, being funny.
I don't know.
Well, it was number four.
I'm just saying over Beyonce.
It's Beyonce.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I saw in a lot of talk shows in the past week, you know, she was promoting that movie. She is not a smart girl.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Never liked to hear that.
She's definitely the puppet of her parents.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are her parents her managers or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her parents, her mother designs all her clothes. Her father's her manager. And just.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice to look at, though.
Yeah,
nice looking
I'll
girl.
Give her that. You know? At least she's got that. And she can sing.
She can sing.
I'll admit that as well.
She's got a good voice. So my best entertainment moment of the week is that last Thursday, Amy and I got a babysitter, and we went to see Aisha Tyler live at the Improv here in Schaumburg, which is a Chicago suburb. And first of all, I have to say the Improv, the space itself, is really nicely done. It's a decent size, and I don't know how many people it holds, maybe 200, 300 people. I don't know. But you can go in before, like an hour and a half before the show starts, and you can get dinner, which it's just bar food. And it was really funny because I'm not kidding you, 95% of the stuff on the menu, chicken something.
Yeah.
And so our server comes back. I'm like, do you guys have any chicken dishes? And he goes, well, yeah, didn't you? And I'm like, no, I was kidding. He goes, oh, okay. I was wondering because we got a lot of chicken stuff. I'm like, yeah, that was kind of my point. It was
nice
everything
to know you don't have
chicken.
To have a sense of humor to work at the comedy club.
Apparently not. And the thing is, I mean, literally, it was like all chicken, and then there was fish and chips and filet mignon or something like that. Uh-huh. And that's it. There was nothing else. It was all chicken dishes. It was the strangest thing.
Not many vegetarian options, it sounds like.
No, I mean, there were a couple. I mean, there was like, you know, like artichoke, spinach and artichoke dip or something like that. But nothing for the vegans. Sorry.
Right.
And so then there was the quote unquote host, who's the guy who comes out to like pre-warm you up before the warm-up act. And he was not really that funny. And in fact, halfway through his set, he's like, you know, these are the real jokes, people. I don't have anything else. So go ahead and laugh if you want to laugh. Which nobody really wanted to, except at that joke, which was pretty funny. I mean, he did have a couple of funny moments, but he was the guy that you'd expect that guy to be.
I actually, within the last year, I went to see Chelsea Handler, and
the host
did a bunch of impersonations, and he was doing like Arnold as the Terminator, and just like everything you could tell it's been his material for over 20 years.
Oh, God. Was he an older guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. That's scary.
Yeah. Pacino from Scent of a Woman. Like, come on. Who wants to hear that now?
Yeah, I mean, who even knows about that movie now?
Right.
Who's going to go there? Well, you know, and I have to say I was a little bit surprised because the audience was actually an older audience.
Uh-huh.
And I would have expected Aisha Tyler to, I mean, it was probably 2/3 older, 1/3 younger than us.
Right.
And I think I would have expected it to be maybe the other way around. But in any case, so then he came out and then this other guy came out and I feel really bad that I don't know the guy's last name. His first, he went by KT something, and he was like half white.
Not KT Tunstall, because that's a woman.
No.
And she's a singer.
Then it's not him. or her, whatever. So he's half white, half Japanese guy from, like, you know, Georgia or something like that. He was really, really funny. But what was even funnier about him is that he was so angry. I mean, he made a lot of jokes about, like, the difference between men and women and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But you could tell there was a lot of genuine anger behind some of these jokes. To the point where I felt a little uncomfortable during some of his bit. I mean, I don't want to take...
Like, you thought he was going to come after you?
No. I'm, first of all, not a girl. And second of all, he doesn't know me. But no, I mean, he really seemed, like, angry, you know? You know how, like, when some people, it's like, it's a shtick to be angry?
Right.
And then other people, you could tell they really are angry. This guy really was angry. And he's kind of short. You know, he's Japanese, so it probably doesn't help. You know what I'm saying?
Not going anywhere.
but he was very funny. And then Aisha Tyler came out, and I have to say, probably the best stand-up I've ever seen in person.
Uh-huh.
She is so good on stage. She's so natural, first of all. It really feels like, you know, you're sitting there having a conversation, except that you're not talking, a conversation with a friend who happens to be really hilarious.
Right.
Because she just, you know, there are some kind of comics who do stand-up and it's very stagey. There's, like, the guy that you were talking about who just does the impressions, and it's almost like, you know, you could tell that every night when they go to sleep, they really dream very hard that vaudeville was still around.
Right.
And then there are the people who, you know, really write jokes. And almost universally, I feel the jokes are not funny. You know, when somebody sits down and writes a joke,
right,
they're almost never funny to me. Or they're kind of like, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, but beyond that. But she wasn't like that at all. She was just talking about stuff and talking about, you know, and telling stories and making them really, really hilarious. And it was nice, too, because it started off kind of, you know, she kind of just was, you know, introducing herself to the audience and kind of started off a little bit slow like that. But then, you know, it built up and it was just so funny for the entire rest of the act once she got going, like, really with her material. And she talked about a lot of different things. She talked about growing up poor and, you know, then having some money now. She talked about relationship stuff. She talked a lot about the unpleasantness of getting older and seeing how that affects you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, she was talking about how all this stuff started happening once she turned 30 and, you know, stuff that she's just not cool with. And it just a lot of really funny material in there. But, I mean, just presented in a way that was really refreshing to me because I had never seen anyone do stand-up that way before. It was really great. And then afterwards, she, you know, went out and she was, you know, she had some CDs or something like that or some books that she was selling and she would autograph. But she was taking pictures with everybody and signing anything that anyone brought up to them brought up to her, I mean. And she just seemed like a very nice person, but extremely funny. If you have the opportunity.
Did Amy ask her to sign her boob?
She did not. But although she did say when she was telling people that she'd sign anything, that if women wanted her to sign a boob, that's fine. She goes, yeah. I'm not a hater. I'll do it. It's cool. But no, she was great. And if you're around somewhere where she's going to be performing, go to her website. It's just AishaTyler.com. Check out where she's going to be. And if you have the opportunity to see her, go see her because she was really funny and it's entirely worth the price of admission. I don't know how much it's going to cost anywhere else, but I think we paid, you know, $35 to see her or something right. like that. And definitely worth it. She was really super funny. So that was my best entertainment moment of the week. You got anything else you want to go over?
No. I do see online, though, that Celebrity Apprentice has just been... picked up for next season.
Oh, shocker.
Of course. It was excellent.
That is pretty funny. But then don't you feel like it has the potential to be kind of like Idol was a few seasons ago, where you have such a strong mix of personalities that the next year is almost certainly going to
be
a letdown?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or they'll try to amp it up and just put even more colorful, you know.
Like goofy,
loose
like
canon
Richard
characters
Simmons and.
Right. Perfect example.
Corey Haim.
Right.
Yeah. Although, would you really want Corey Haim working on anything?
Well, if the Donald doesn't like drunk driving, I'm sure Corey Haim is not going to be on his show.
Yeah, that's going to be a screening
right.
qualification, I think, now. Who would be good on The Celebrity Apprentice? Okay, Richard Simmons.
That's a good call. Just anyone that'll lose it. No one coming to
Bob
mind.
Bob Denver.
Either. He's dead.
He is?
That's terrible.
When did he die?
Oh, Bob. Well, yeah,
Gilligan.
He's dead.
He's dead?
Yeah. Yeah, so he wouldn't be good on there.
No.
You're not gonna get a lot of
That's
action.
That's not dramatic.
No.
Not once it's already happened. When did he die?
It's been within the last couple of years.
I'm kind of saddened by that.
Yeah.
Huh.
But.
Well, who else? Because Gene Simmons was on already, right?
Yes.
And that season was supposedly terrible, wasn't it?
He was good on it, though. He was the best part of it. Yeah.
Oh, well, you watched the whole
because
season?
Because he was like, no, I saw a little of it.
Oh, okay.
He was a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
that
almost
Piers Morgan who won was kind of like a troublemaker, too. And he was Piers Morgan.
I don't know who that is.
He's one of the judges. I know he does other stuff, but he's one of the judges on America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, the British guy.
Yeah. He's the one who won last season.
Oh. Well, why would they have him on if he's like so busy with other stuff? That almost doesn't seem to make sense.
I don't know.
Well, because
he's actually on like the last episode. Not the last one, but the one before that.
Oh, of this season?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Okay. Did we already talk about the that woman from Britain's Got Talent?
No, we didn't. Do you want to talk about that and end on that?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, now, what's her name again?
Susan Boyle.
Susan Boyle. Now, here's the thing. First of all, every person I know sent me a link to that video.
Did you watch the video?
I watched the video.
And?
It's
really touching,
isn't
it?
It is touching, but it was exactly the same thing that happened a couple years ago with Paul Potts.
That's the opera singer.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was even on the same show.
Right.
And it's the same thing where this guy comes out who looks like a dork and says he wants to do something that nobody would look at him and think that he could do.
Right.
You know, he like works at a cell phone store or something like that.
Right.
And says he wants to be an opera singer and then comes out and absolutely blows everyone away with his voice and his talent.
So what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying is...
Do you think it was a setup?
No, I don't think it was a setup, but I can't understand why everyone was so moved and shocked by it when the same group of people who sent me this video sent me that video 2 years ago. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're not going to believe this. Well, yeah, I believe it because I just saw it 2 years ago with a dude. I don't get that. And it's even on the same show.
Right.
And then just before we started doing the podcast, I saw something online that said that they think Susan Boyle is going to somehow change America's Got Talent. And I didn't read what that was referring to. What do you think that could mean?
I don't know.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because if you haven't been to the UK, have you?
No.
Okay. If you ever go, I'm sure you'll put the TV on in your hotel room and you will notice immediately the biggest difference between our TV and their TV is that they absolutely do not care if the people on their talk shows and news programs and stuff like that are like really good looking or not. They just put on, you know, whoever.
That's admirable.
It is admirable. And I like that about their TV. And obviously there's still some cynicism associated with looks, you know, which you can see just by watching the Susan Boyle video. But it is really nice to go over there and see that, you know, their talk show hosts look like average people.
Right.
They don't look like, you know, dolls. And that's the creepy thing about a lot of the TV shows here, especially entertainment TV shows, is that people don't even look like real people.
Mary Hart.
What's the other blonde?
Lisa Gibbons.
No, not her.
Nancy O'Dell.
Nancy O'Dell. I mean, she doesn't even look like a real human. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They look like living dolls. It's weird.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, we live in a superficial country. I mean,
but the UK is just as much a part of the West as we are. So why haven't they gone that route too?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you notice substance driven than we are?
Did you notice too that the two dudes that were talking to her were the two guys who were the hosts of the talk show in Love Actually?
No.
That Bill Nye's character was singing on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were the guys hosting the show when he like drew the little, you know, word balloon around the poster of the boy band. Yeah. So I don't know anything about them.
Right.
But it was the same people. Well, what did you think of the Susan Boyle thing?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a little too much media attention around it now. I mean, yeah, it was a nice moment, but like, God, every night on like The Insider, it's like, what's she doing now? She got her eyebrows plucked. Top story.
Yeah. She ate a potato.
Yeah.
But didn't you think it was weird that it was basically the same thing as we saw a couple
You know,
years
I didn't
ago?
Think of it until you just said it.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, whatever. It was equally as entertaining.
It
so.
Was. It was good. And she had a great voice. Although I actually preferred his voice. And I'm not a big opera fan, but
her voice was like out of the 30s.
Yeah. She has a very old
style
voice. I mean, I don't want to take away from her talent. She's insanely talented. Right. I don't want to take away from her talent. I mean, not her talented. All right, but that's it. So if you are a not super attractive person who can sing really well,
go to England.
Podcast at pause.com. Let us know, and we'll have you on the
You'll
show.
Do anything for an email, won't you?
Just about. You would not believe how many stupid websites I sign up for just so I get the "you have joined our website" email.
Really?
No, of course not. You think I want any more spam than I already
get?
I thought. Oh, God. All right. Thanks as always for listening. We really appreciate it, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.